This is not a business fable featuring the exploits of Barry, Larry, Frederica, or Ferdinand as they navigate the treacherous waters of leadership or cultivate the perfect high-performing team. The stable of fables that has accumulated in business publishing is remarkable. Fables and parables are divine teaching tools and have been immensely helpful to many. I might try one for my next book. However, How to Work for an Idiot is an urgent and edgy warning to reach people poised on the ledge outside their office windows, ready to jump to their deaths because they thought they had life at the office all figured out, only to wake up one day and discover they had been looking through the wrong lens. For them, the thought of doing this work for this idiot boss for the rest of their careers feels like staring into the abyss, hopeless. That would be me through most of my working life, and if you are still thinking that your boss is solely to blame for the misery and misfortune in your working life, it might be you too. I specify working life because everything else is pretty much dealt with in How to Live with an Idiot, same principles and rules of engagement for the most part, different venue, set of expectations, and parameters on conduct. This is a book about me, and it is a book about you. It's about real issues and real people. It's about being alive versus being dead. More specifically, it is a book for the living dead who died to the joy they once found in working, but still show up at the office every day and collect the check. It's also for people so angry with what they perceive to be their boss's failures that they are dead to many people and things around them that could otherwise make them feel alive and energized. Anger is such a huge factor in workplace dissatisfaction that I've devoted the final chapter to the topic and titled it Leveraging Anger. There is a point of impact where our boatload of expectations as to how our bosses should treat us is dashed and splintered against the rocks of reality. Most everything you're about to listen to going forward deals with wave after wave of expectations crashing against those rocks of reality and rolling harmlessly back into the surf. The promise of this book is that you and I can live out our lives, especially our careers and the work we do, with a sense of peace and contentment that comes from accepting and skillfully playing the hand we've been dealt. Playing the hand we've been dealt requires mastery of the game, mastery and dignity that does not include complaining, kvetching, and generally seething in resentment as we grit our teeth, stay in the game, and desperately hope someone will change the rules in our favor. The rules are the rules. If I could change them, I would have done so 1,000 times already. Those rules I can change, I do. But human behavior is human behavior, and the role of work has essentially remained unchanged since Adam and Eve bit off more than they could chew, had to get dressed, go out, and get real jobs. It is trying to white-knuckle our way past the world of work as it truly is, and pretending it is the way we want it to be, that gets most of us in trouble. None of this is to say that our working lives are hopeless. On the contrary, there is enormous reason for rejoicing and hope for a better tomorrow. As long as we cling tightly to a twisted, distorted, misaligned perception of working relationships as we feel they ought to be, we essentially cancel the rejoicing and snuff out the candle of hope. As Theodore Roosevelt is credited with saying, "It's about starting where we are, using what we have, and doing what we can." Or words to that effect.